The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. The angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming to her, he said, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at what was said, and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of David his father, and he will rule over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." But Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I have no relations with a man?" And the angel said to her in reply, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, Son of God. And behold, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month of her who was called barren. For nothing is impossible to God." Mary said, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. The Gospel of the Lord. It probably wouldn't cross your mind, or the thought wouldn't come into your head. But when it comes to reading, like we read this morning from the Gospel of Luke, it's so familiar. And you have heard it many, many times before. And possibly you could almost repeat it verbatim without having to look at the book. For somebody like me, then, to talk about that particular reading from the Gospel and try and maybe see something we didn't see in it before, that's what I think is, for somebody like me, who has to get up here and speak to you on a Sunday or even on a weekday, That's the challenge. And so, having looked at the Gospel earlier in the week and thought about it, is there anything personally in the Gospel this morning that I wasn't aware of before? And I did come across some little thoughts, one of them being, I was thinking, why is Mary so popular among us Catholics, and why does she play such a part in our tradition and in our church? And perhaps, you know, subconsciously, because we regard Mary as standing in for all humankind. She was human, just like you or me. And also, I want to pick out one little phrase which is very, very important in the gospel this morning. And it's that phrase, "You have found favor with God." In other translations, it says, "Mary, you are highly favored." When somebody says that to you, it's not because of anything you have done or achieved, but it's because the person who is bestowing the favor is being done by that person. And it's interesting, if you go back to the Greek, that word favor, the Greek word for that word favor is undeserved love, unmerited love, undeserved love. And since I said a moment or two ago that Mary stands in for all humankind, do you believe that? That the love of God for each one of us is not something that I can earn. It's not something that I have merited. It's totally a gift from God. Totally a gift. And I find it difficult, and I'm sure you do, because we live in an age of where you got to earn things, and we live in an age of calculation and computation and so on. And when somebody freely gives us a gift, there's always, I find, and I'm talking about myself at the moment, I don't know about you, so I can't say how you feel, but I always feel, oh, I don't deserve that. Why is this person doing this for me? And go back to the angel and Mary. Did the angel say to Mary, "Or your God is favoring you because you're very good looking, or you're very smart, or you're a very beautiful young person"? No. There was no conditions. There was no examination of her worthiness. And how often we are into, am I worthy? Do I deserve this? Who? Me? Why would God do this for me? Why would anybody love me? And that's, I think, is one of our fundamental problems. And we become so aware of our failings and our sins, and we allow them to dominate our lives. And when we do that, it leads to fear of God, to fear of dying, to fear of the afterlife. And what did the angel Gabriel say to Mary in the gospel this morning? "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid." Because fear leads to anxiety, depression, all kinds of things. And the angel Gabriel said, "Do not be afraid. Do not fear. Do not fear." And Mary, she naturally had questions. How can this be? I'm not married. I have no relations with a man, so how can I conceive a child? And the angel says to her, don't worry, Mary, leave it to God. Leave it to God. How incapable I am of doing that at times. I think I've got to solve every problem myself. No, take a leaf from Mary's book. Follow Mary. I don't know how this will happen. That was Mary's attitude. But I leave it to God. Let it be. You remember the Beatles song, Let It Be. Let it be done unto me according to thy word. And so many of us, we have a very, low opinion of ourselves, and we're very guilty of our sins and failures. And all we have to do, in our own little words, is come to God and say, I'm sorry. And we practice that in our lives, hopefully on a daily basis, if we offend somebody by what we say or do. Never be afraid to say, I am sorry. That's very, very important. And have you noticed, or maybe it's become so again familiar, at the beginning of every Mass, what do we do? It's a very, very, very important moment. And I feel we very often skip it or jump over it or regard it as not really an important part of the Mass. Believe me, it is. Because when I honestly say or pray at the beginning of Mass, I confess to Almighty God and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have greatly sinned. That is asking God for his forgiveness. And that is an act of reconciliation. And we are forgiven. And we get very worried in at times, what is a mortal sin? And what is a venial sin? Well, it's hard to explain that in a few minutes here on a Sunday morning, except to say, I would honestly say that most of us are not capable of committing a mortal sin, because a mortal sin has got to be a serious matter, but most of all, it's got to be a complete rejection of God. In other words, I want nothing to do with God. I want him totally out of my life. In other words, he's cursing God. It's a bit like two people get into an argument and it becomes physical. And by some piece of bad luck or whatever, one of them gets a blow that kills them. The person that gave the blow or got involved in the fight most likely didn't have the intention of killing the person. And so they may be charged with manslaughter, but not with murder, because it's got to be deliberate and it's got to be your intention. And none of us want to reject God out of our lives. Hopefully, I don't think I would ever be capable of doing that. Would I be capable of committing a serious sin? Definitely, yes. And so there's a difference between venial sin and serious sin and mortal sin. And since at the moment we don't have the availability of confession as we would normally have, anything you feel you've done wrong or you feel you need God's forgiveness for, just tell God in your own words that you are sorry and make a sincere act of contrition. It has to come from the heart, not just from the head. And if you do that, God understands.
It's a bit like somebody is on their way to confession and they get ill or they have an accident or they don't make it to confession. Their sins are forgiven because they had the intention. And that's what really matters. So, like Mary in the gospel this morning, leave it to God. Leave it to God. And like Mary, come to believe absolutely that we are all favored by God. In other words, we all receive God's undeserved, unmerited love. And if you can realize that you don't have to earn God's love, you don't have to be worthy of God's love. If you can remember that, then you are well prepared to receive Christ at Christmas.